Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
You have not on your phone. Did anybody get a Bible? Oh, God bless you. All right. Let's read the foundation of the New Testament, John chapter 3 and verse 16. Hallelujah. The subject of my message is eternal life. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, Jesus is the only begotten son, but we are all adopted sons. Adoption in the Bible is not the same as how we understand adoption. Please, can we turn off this fan? It's distorting my frequency. All right. Now, adoption in the Christian world is not as though the way you go to an orphanage and adopt a child. All right? It's a different concept. But if it helps you, as far as our Father in heaven is concerned, you are exactly like Christ. Hallelujah. I said you're exactly like Christ. So what that means is that when you are standing before God and Jesus is standing before... let me stay here. I'm already walking away. I feel better when I walk, actually. No. I want to stay on time. Please, are you with me now? As far as God is concerned, I know you think you're a sinner. But when you are standing with Jesus, God is seeing the same person. Please pay attention. I'm going to address at some point in this message. I don't know how many parts this message will be. But if I was preaching at Ajao yesterday, and it just occurred to me, maybe I should teach on eternal life for 1 year. The Lord told me this is the solution to most of our problems. That if we focus on life, we will not need deliverance. Please, the Lord did not say there's something wrong with deliverance. Say if you are growing in life. So, are we going to pray for deliverance when people are possessed? When they have issues, are we going to cast out devils? Did Jesus cast out devils? So we'll do it. But God's greatest goal is that all of us here will grow in life. Give me that scripture again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever... Osama bin Laden is in that whosoever. The president of the United States is also there. Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad is there. Buddha. What's that guy's name? Buddha, no. Shiv, whatever. All those. Confucius. What was that guy that wrote 48 Laws of Power? The Art of War. They're all here. That your aunt in your family in the village that everybody runs away from. Because our witchcraft level is 999. She's also here. The Word of God says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? The word everlasting life is the word eternal. The word Zoe. D-Z-O-A-Y. Zoe. Or in modern English, Z-O-E. And Zoe means the God quality of life. That means the kind of life that God lives. That he... Let me ask you a question. Have you ever wondered, with all the problems of mankind, Jesus came to the world and God said the solution was eternal life. Like, this is why you sent your son. Like, no. It's like, you don't know the kind of problem we're having here. God is saying, all the problems you are seeing in the world, the solution is life. I don't know if you are listening to me. God said, whosoever believes in him, that means everybody is on the road of destruction. We are marked. But if I have faith in his son, instead of destruction, I will be bestowed eternal life. A life that is timeless, the quality of life that is godlike, that cannot be destroyed. The overcomer's life. And God says, the solution to my problem is eternal life. So, we need to investigate eternal life. When Jesus see, if you have tasted something, nobody can confuse you again. The reason why you are not sure is because you've not tasted it. Jesus said to that woman, you should be asking me to give you water. I asked you for water, but if you knew who was talking to you, you should have rephrased the question and said, sir, just like that Roman general, knowing who Jesus was, said, if it's the Jesus I know and I've heard of, you don't need to come to my house. Your word is law, your word is power. And Jesus declared, I have not seen this kind of faith in Israel. The subject of life, of eternal life, it is the DNA of the Christian, of the believer. This is how God wants us to live. He wants us to live from our higher ordinations. He wants us to live to understand the nature of this life. He wants us to understand why Zoe is the way it is. He gave us a model in his son. The constitution of Zoe is such that it reacts to anything that is lesser than it. It doesn't hang around lower forms of life. And that's why you will find that many times Jesus will stay away from people. He would, after preaching, he would go far away into the wilderness or into the forest and stay there. Sometimes he will stay on the mountain because the quality of that life is such that your spirit is textured into a glorious light. Just like when he took the disciples with him to the Mount of Transfiguration and said, let me introduce the one who in the realm of the heavens is known as the Word. And he manifested his light and he slept. That light, that life subdues anything lower in that estate. You can't, it is with that life that demons can say, what have we done to you? What are you doing around us? It is with that life that a woman can come with her faith and touches the hem of his garment and Jesus delivered her by mistake. Jesus didn't pray for her. Jesus didn't plan to deliver her. There is something about the Zoe kind of life that can only be assessed by faith, not by emotions. That woman, please pay attention, when she touched Jesus, did not feel anything. It was Jesus who felt something. It was Jesus who knew that virtue had what? Had left him. It was when he turned, the woman realized she was healed. Your Zoe life is likened to moving from Nigeria to the US and getting a US citizenship and what is it? A blue passport there? Huh? Blue passport. There's red is UK, right? You don't know. Because you're a Christian. Blue is you must know. Which one is green? Oh my shoe. They also change that color, you see. Go and write it down. The day they change the color, come and give me prophet offering. I just looked at the entire picture, the build up to John chapter 3, verse 16. I looked at the fall of man. I looked at Adam. I looked at Eve. Do you know that after their fall, the scripture said that the children that were being born to Adam were born in the image of Adam, not the image of God? Hello. So if Seth was born in the image of God, you see, these are thought-provoking questions. I know we are all born in the, we are created in the image of God. You are created in the image of God, but you are born in the image of this sin nature. That's why you don't need to do anything to be a sinner. And God recommended that the only answer to the sin nature, the foundation for the glory of God in the life of anyone who comes to him, is the introduction of an element called eternal life. When I was young as a Christian, we used to sing that song every time we want to give altar call and war cry. We didn't need a keyboard for it anyway. So I really don't know. But the Lord said that if we stay around spiritual matters like this, that we'll find that we'll begin to grow in life. There's a growth in life. There's a growth system that life, eternal life, offers to you. It's very quiet but profound. As you grow in it, you will suddenly realize that you can outgrow certain battles. You can outgrow certain, because the foundation for eternal life, they are textured in three things. First is righteousness. The second is peace. And the third is joy. Those are the foundations for eternal life. So every time you find that you are struggling in your faith with God, go and check for these three pillars. Something has been tampered with here. You may not really have a problem if you know how to analyze, how to investigate, how to become forensic. You look at your life and you suddenly realize that, okay, I started battling with depression after somebody said this to me, or after I heard this. Then you realize that somewhere in your journey, you started second guessing yourself by reason of, am I really born again? Or you escorted yourself to the house of Julius. And when you got to Julius, certain compromises began to happen. Oh, and please don't even begin to think that because you are married, you are exempted. I sat in a meeting with a marriage counselor of several issues in our, I think, maybe mid-50s or late-50s, who developed some strange affinity for the man she was counseling. She's a holiness preacher. It was her resume that if you really wanted to help a couple, send them to so-so woman in Nigeria. But she fell in love with her patient, who was relatively younger. Don't say never, say God. Because some of us have this false sense of security. Think, because I'm in our place in Ishan, you must not do certain things. Because if you where we come from, if you do it, there will be repercussion. Where I come from in Delta, you must not cheat on your husband. So your foundation for righteousness is not on Christ. It's on fetish. Which means Satan can still exploit you. Even though you are not really committing sin, he will exploit you and you'll be shouting, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. But because the foundation for your declaration is already faulty, Satan will have his way. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, having this confidence in... Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. What was the instrument for the justification? Faith. So you see that there's a strong connection between my response of faith and how God responds to me. That God responds first to my faith before my tears. Please, are you here? Please, are you here? That when the Lord says, I have forgiven you, he also responds to you from the realm of faith. Because God is a faith God. But faith draws its own power from love. Because the scripture says that love believes all things. What does love do? It believes. Love has faith. Love believes. Come on now, are you here? Love what? It believes. Love has capacity for faith. So when you say your faith is crippled, check your love life. Come on, am I talking? Yes, somebody, anytime I preach, like Benga used to like it. One day I preached, like Benga said, Pastor, please be preaching like this. I say, I wish. But I saw myself preaching this message. So when I get to a particular point in this series, I don't know where the Lord permits me, I will start talking about civilizations and substructure and superstructure. So when we get to that junction, bear with me. He that hath the Son hath life. Ooh. Glory. Let's read that. Oh. I know why many religions hate John and Paul. You know this book of John I'm reading is the oldest, the last book of the Bible. Before we read that, I want us to consider Romans chapter 6 verse 23. You know, when I fell into sin, I was a student at OAU Ife. You know, I remember that man, you know, when I went to him in an Anglican church, Baba Deshida. It was recently the Lord started telling me that it wasn't Baba Deshida. I was made to see Baba Deshida. Because Baba Deshida is not a canon. It's not a reverend in the Anglican communion. But I couldn't sleep. I was broken. I felt like, you know, if you have always walked in the anointing and you now have to live 48 hours without a sense of God's presence around you, you feel exposed. I don't know if you've ever been there. Hey, I wish there was a better way to it. The best way to explain it would have been the way Jesus felt on the cross. It wasn't the cry for power. For the first time in his life, he felt alone. There are people you have affairs with. The impact is deadlier than others. Hey. Okay, let's share the grace. I don't know. So somebody just looking at me like, Pastor, you have started. Please, can we, because you start asking me for Bible verse now, and I don't want to offend you. For those of us who have been in the world long enough, you will know what I'm saying. You become very intimate with a particular brother, even though you know what you are doing is wrong, but you can't stop. Please, who knows what I'm talking about? You tell yourself, no, it will not happen again. 3 days later, you'll be the one texting him or sending a message and say, where are you? How was your day? Before you know it, you find yourself wearing your slippers and going back there. Even though the voice of the Holy Spirit is so loud, go home, go home, go home. You suddenly feel bored. You feel alone. You feel like, I just want to talk to Kunle. But before you get there, you know what will happen. Yes or yes? You see, when you have no accountability structure in your life, whether in the name of godly friends or spiritual covering, you don't have a pastor, you don't have anything else. These are the things. Because the day Satan will come for you, you will not have anybody to call. And if you are not as strong as David, that day your Goliath will take your head. That man looked at me. This elderly man. I sat in front of him and I wept. For the first time in a long time, I was afraid. Because there are just certain things in your mind you can touch around you. You just know that, oh, you are with God. Everything was taken away from me. What is this? So there's nothing you can tell me about your struggle that is strange to me. Yeah. The reason why you can't see it on me is because Jesus took it away. Huh? That you cannot even imagine that I would be involved with bisexuals. But that's because Jesus has taken away that scar. So there's no shame. Bring your sin into the light and let the glorious light of Jesus destroy it. If you keep it in darkness, you will never be free. You will never. And like Jesus said to that woman, who has condemned you? I don't condemn you. Was Jesus approving her sin? The reason why he could say that is because he is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the solution. I can help you. I won't just tell you, do a blood test. I will analyze the test result and tell you the drug to take. That man looked into my eyes, and as I wept, he was just watching me. I said, God has departed from me. And the man looked at me like this. He said, no. I can still see the Holy Spirit inside of you. That was the first time I ever knew somebody could see the Holy Spirit. He said, I can still see the Holy Spirit. He said, kneel down. And as he laid his hands on me, I couldn't even say I was just weeping. The moment he told me to get up like this, joy. Pew! I said, it's like a garment of joy. Pew! When you have certain challenges you face as a young child, Satan will keep pushing those things to you to check if you still have appetite. Let's move you from being homosexual to bisexual. So whichever way, you can be bisexual and be married and your wife will not know. But for God, he needed to stop it because that would automatically disqualify you from ministry. So it was not about that sin of that day. It was about, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, it will require him to serve us, to work fully with us. He cannot do it bisexual. So God was interested even more than myself in my own freedom for whatever reason, I will not know until eternity. Please, are you with me? Tell your neighbor, protect your anointing. Protect the work of God in your life. Protect the grace of God in your life. Everybody can be exposed. Everybody can be, you know. But if you understand that what was given to you was a gift, you didn't work for it. Give me Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is what? That means when you labor in iniquity, if you labor, God, you, Satan bestows upon you death. Satan does not have it within himself to give life. He doesn't have it. Which is why he aspired for the throne that he could not. Oh, have you ever, does it ever bother you that that book where your names will be checked at the end of your life is called Book of Life? The book is called Life. Huh? It's not called, it's not even Book of Life, it's Life. It's because it's a book. That's why we added that to qualify it. The material that qualifies you as an as a heavenly citizen is documented in what is called Life. In him was life. In him was life. And that life, that light, was the life of men. Say, for the wages of sin is what? That means I can labor and get reward in unrighteousness. Just as I can labor and bring forth godly profit. For the wages of sin is death. Now, the word wages is different from salary. That means you can get your reward within a day. May not be 3 years from now. It may not be 10 years. Sometimes it could be as quick as a day. Like the lady that came here that was HIV positive, and she had gone to see a prophet somewhere to pray for her before coming here. And the prophet started asking her out. And she said she struggled with, should I destroy this man and his family? Or should I let him go? She said, but when she saw that the man had very young children, just walked away. So she, I said, you left a senior prophet, came to a junior prophet. Please, go to the next church. Funny enough, she didn't open up. I just noticed when I was talking to her, she was all looking at me like this. There are some, you see, every evil look in your life is cancelled in Jesus' name. For the wages of sin is death, but God's gift is what? Not deliverance, not healing, not prosperity, a full package. A full package. A kind of life that is anti-causes. A kind of life that makes it difficult for you to operate below the bar. A kind of life that is higher than the life of the angels. These are the things that the angels seek to look into. How mortality can be blessed with immortality. Say, but the gift of God is eternal life. What is eternal life? Is this why Jesus came? Just this? Or am I missing the point? Eternal life, that's all. That's why you suffered. That's why you hung on that cross. That's why you stayed through. That's why you refused to walk in offense, so that the sacrifice could be pure enough for his Father to receive. Does this even make sense? The gift of God. Say, Yvonne, I want to give you a gift. Say, bro, from today, I want you to be like me. Yes, yes. Say, the gift of God is eternal life. You see, when Jesus said, for every soul that comes to the kingdom, there is rejoicing in heaven. You don't understand, because in your mind, only one person gave his life to Christ. In your mind, is we spent 1 million on this crusade. Only the value of one soul is more than 1 million. The gift of God, you don't work for it. You can't pay for it. The crime some of us have committed, it takes only the blood of Jesus to remove that thing from our conscience. The abortions, many people are planning to go to the grave with secrets, and they are just 27 years. But nobody must know. Say, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Lord Jesus made a statement. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. Please, I want you to see that latest statement is connected to the first one. No man comes to the Father except by me. What is he saying? Pay attention. There was a tabernacle that was built in the Old Testament. That tabernacle had three layers. Are you with me now? There was the outer court, holy place, holiest of all. Then when you get to the holiest of all, you now see God. You will never find God in the outer court, no matter your singing and dance. Which is why many of us resort to concert and gyration and karaoke and Friday evening enjoyment, because there's no joy in us, because the item of joy is in the holiest of all. Please, are you with me? So when you say you are worshiping God, one of the signs of approval you will find is how God blesses you with joy. Not keyboard modulation. One of the signs you will know that your worship has been received is when he blesses you with either his joy, or when he says you shall go forth in peace. If you come out with a sense of, yes, we have found it. And that is why Satan doesn't mind you sinning and then asking God for forgiveness, as long as you don't understand God's transport system for redemption. Because you may be asking for forgiveness, and some of you know what I'm talking about. After you prayed for days, you still feel the burden of that sin over your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, have you ever committed a sin or done something just before coming to church, and for like a day or two, that thing was heavy upon your heart, and you prayed? And the Bible says when you pray, you should believe that God has forgiven you, right? And you believed, but you still could not confidently, you know, stand. If they say, sister, brother, come and lead the prayer. You say, no, I don't feel like. Because of what you did. The moment they say, come and lead prayer, it is that thing you did you first remembered. Meanwhile, the word of God says, when God forgives you, he wipes out the record. But the record is still in your own mind. And you cannot stand. So when they now force you, now came on the pulpit and say, let's begin to plead the blood of Jesus. Let's begin to ask for mercy. Say, I've always known this sister. She's a fire woman. But now, she's talking about, let's ask for forgiveness. But maybe that's the way God wants to move today. But that prayer is not for you. It's for her. That God, don't keep me here. Don't keep me here. I think I'll beg you. Don't keep me here. I'm the only child of my mother. I thank God, beg God. Now, have you ever been in such a situation? Then when the service was on and the worship started and you got into some ecstatic atmosphere of worship and prayer and intercession and you received the word, and without any serious attention, you notice when you left the church, the thing was gone. Huh? Now, that thing follows a particular principle in 1 John chapter 1. See, when we dwell in the light, as he is in the light, we have koinonia, fellowship with one another. And what? The blood of Jesus. Every time we are together, this is what Satan fights when he tells you not to go to church. Because there are certain things you will never be able to undo on your own as long as he can get you to stay away. If your pastor is not good enough, change him. There are battles we will never win until we come into a community of believers. And then we'll stretch our hands and say, the Lord rebuke you. When I became possessed by devils in the year 1993. This is my life, eh? This is my short life, eh? I have plenty, plenty stories. If I was my wife, I won't marry me. That's why you can't. I don't like demons because I've suffered. There was a time last year, for 30 days, I could not sleep. I was the pastor of this church. No, okay, I'm not a Christian. I was the pastor of this church. Because you want to tell me I'm not spiritual. I said I was the pastor of this church. I was coming here preaching on Sundays. Once it hits 11 p.m., I must open my eyes. Because if I sleep, it's as though I'm always falling from a building. Falling, you know those dreams that never end? You fall, you run, something is happening to you. You wake up, you go to the restroom, you come back, the dream continues. We are here. We are not going anywhere. The more I prayed against it, the more it intensified. I became afraid. I told my wife. I was praying for people. I was still prophesying to them. Oh, but the power of the night had taken over. So I know why I am angry against demons. I know why I don't like people suffering under the oppression of Satan. Ah, it's not a part. When somebody tells you I'm depressed, you don't know half of it. You don't know. It's not two depressions are the same. For a full month, I prayed. I used all my knowledge of scripture. And it seemed the moment I opened my mouth to pray, that thing will intensify. Have you ever prayed and said, God, this thing I did, I'm sorry. The moment you did, the guilt now intensified. The guilt of what you did intensified. Like, you now like, is it like God? Is like Satan is hearing me? It's not God that is hearing me. Because the moment I prayed, the thing, please, who knows what I'm talking about? Do you know I was free? Huh? You know I got free? I went on my knees and said, God, I don't know what to do again. Have mercy upon me. That was the end. No binding, no losing. I went on my knees. I said, God, have mercy upon me. I don't know what to do, but I'm scared of going to bed. You know, I wish somebody understands. Who knows what it means to be scared of going to bed at night? Like, because something happens, you feel oppressed, suppressed. Yeah. And I was the pastor of the church. So don't even try. Don't even try to play King Kong. You understand? I've been there. Let's just talk about it. And God removed that burden. You know what happened? God did not even give me a word. Oh, no time. We've not started this. I don't know if you've even heard anything today. Huh? Because I'm looking at the time now. You know what I realized, Toby? I just realized that I started sleeping before I realized God had delivered me. God did not tell me, my son, I've heard your cry. It was like the third or fourth. I just realized, I've been sleeping well for 3 days. Say, Father, I thank you. You know, when you see me online telling that, be grateful, there are prayers only gratefulness can resolve. There are some problems. You pray from today to tomorrow, those they will only bow to the power of a grateful spirit. The reason why you qualify to present a case before the Lord and He hears you is because you have the you have met the primary condition for placing that prayer before the Lord, and which is that you belong to God. If any man does not have this life, he does not belong to God, even if he is a pastor or if he's a church member. This it is on the basis of this scripture that you can hear people say that a Christian cannot be possessed, because they understand the nature of this life, that whatever it takes hold of, it fills it up. It doesn't leave a space in that section. But please, may I also tell you that eternal life has its foundation and is based in your life, in your spirit, not your soul. Are you blessed? In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 35, for whosoever findeth me findeth life and will obtain favor of the Lord. Let's read John chapter 10 verse 28 to 30. John chapter 10. This is a very important scripture. Oh, how I love you, oh God. God, you know, there's just, you know, just take your time and read what Jesus says. Look at Jesus. He said, and I give unto them eternal life. The quality of that life is that what? They shall never... Please, I need you to look at this thing. This is the voice of our master. Don't look at it like you are reading a textbook. This is Jesus. Jesus says what he owes you is what? Eternal life. And he says when he bestows upon you eternal life, you will never perish. That means death will not have power. Oh, that, do you know you can die in at least three ways? Do you know we don't think people have died many times until they stop breathing? People can die emotionally. They can die in their soul. Do you know that a man that is not born again is already dead spiritually? He's cut off from the life of God. Which means you must see death in at least three areas. And what Jesus is saying here is that he's giving you power over death in at least three areas. He said they will never perish. And just like Jesus said, no man can take my life from me. I take it up and I lay it down. He is bringing you into that same level of sonship by reason of understanding. The moment you understand this scripture, you know that even on the cross, it was Jesus who said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. That was when he could die. Oh, are you listening to me? I'm trying to see the divine possibilities that God has given to us, and that when you allow yourself relate with God out of those things that are realistic, you cheat yourself. Do you know that Moses could not be killed by death again? Do you know how he died? Because he could not die. God told him, go up into the mountain and die. Did you catch that? Because death could not kill him. Because he had become a living priesthood. He had become a priest unto God. And his ordination was not Levitical. Because the Levitical priesthood needed permission to come into God's presence. Moses went in and went out, which was the model the Lord gave to us in Hebrews. He said, come boldly. We have lost many battles because somewhere in our mind, we said it was over. If you know the order of life that is in your spirit, if you know what that thing is capable of, that life that God died for, that the thing he considered most important to bestow upon you, and he called it eternal life. If you know what that thing is capable of, he said, they will never perish. neither shall any man be able to pluck them out of mouth. Those people who preach once saved, forever saved. This is their scripture. Hey, are you with me now? This is their scripture. And I can also come back to tell you where they made a mistake. But that statement as it is actually true. If you obey this law, this scripture, you can't backslide. You have life. There's a kind of life you have that you don't know because you have not been introduced to that life. Because everything you have done was to feed the life you are already used to. When a man has experienced that life, you cannot convince him otherwise. That life responds to a particular atmosphere. Just like you can, generally speaking now, you can only live as a human on earth because of the atmospheric conditions that support human life. If you go to Venus, you'll be dead. Now they are even saying that there's somebody on the moon that has been living there for a while now. So I'm waiting to get the update. They said they saw footprints in the moon. So when you waste your time on TikTok, you should be researching science. I'm telling you. Don't say, oh, it's Yoruba I studied. If I were you, huh? You research science. You know, Google will only give you what you normally check. When you go to your Google feed, you're always seeing a latest update from this celebrity and all of that. It's because they have checked you and they have seen that this is who you are. You are a wannabe. You want to become a celebrity. So they'll be giving you people like yourself to disciple you. I hope you know the word mentorship is not in the Bible. It is not a Christian word. The Christian word is discipleship. Mentor is for business. Oh, I just love Pastor Gwinyi as one of my mentors. Well, mentee. I also a mentee. After you remove the double E, remain ment. There's one song we used to sing those days. Oh, yeah, when you. Okay. Let's share the grace. People will not hear me now. Instead of you to mind your business, it's the song I'm singing that is. He said, they shall never perish. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them. Do you know what it means to pluck out? This is how God is holding you. This is how God is holding you. Pluck it, take it out. You will struggle with the divine ability and nature. That means it now rests on God's integrity to ensure that you do not fall. God has a register of everyone who bears his DNA, who is his son and his daughter. And God says, the moment you are in that register, this is how he holds you. Oh yeah. Satan will try. Say, no man shall take them out of my hands. Even when you are choosing sin, God is looking for pre-degree programs to quickly, certificate programs to quickly register you, to bring you back to the faith. And many people who have backslided and walked away from Christ, if they are honest, they will tell you God actually reached out to them. Nobody backslides unconsciously. Nobody backslides unconsciously. God would have, you would know. To turn away from Christ is a deliberate decision. It's not, oh, because I met one guy. No. A day will come, despite having spent 2 months with that guy, you just wake up and say, I can't continue. Let me just follow my passion. That is the day your name will be removed from the register. Give me that scripture. Give me 29. Hopefully, if the Lord permits, we'll continue next week Sunday. You like this kind of message? It looks boring. There's no. People like it hot. The Lord told me that if I teach this message and people believe it, that many of you will not need deliverance again. This is what he told me. He said, my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. Huh? So when Yvonne came to Christ, it was God the Father that took registry and delivery of that name. And he said, my son, Jesus, Yvonne is now here. Bring her safely home. At the end of the word, I want to see Yvonne. What manner of love that has been bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God, even though it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be as he is. The mandate to deliver you safe and sound was given to Jesus. And that's why he will not let you go. If you have lost your fire and your relationship with God, listen, it's not God that is angry. You are the one holding back. He's the lover of your soul. He's the lover of your soul. I say the love of your soul. Say, therefore, if any man comes to me, I will in no wise cast him away. That is what Jesus said. If any man, if any bishop, if any thief, if any arm robber, if any drunkard, if any polygamist, if any sorcerer, if any man comes to me. That's how powerful. There's room for more. Oh, your mom is not born again, but there's room for her. Your father is not born again, but Jesus said there's room for him. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Oh. Just see, when you open this book, you'll find mysteries. You'll find things like, is this thing actually the way it is written? That there is no record of my sin. I don't need to keep praying every day. Father, the sin that we know that we did not commit, including the one that we committed, Father, forgive us as we are going to bed. Let us not, because of sin, die. Those are religious prayers. See, when you read something like this, you can't help but love Jesus. When I know you have eternal life, and I know my brother has eternal life, and I know daddy here has eternal life, we have something that is common to us. I cannot abuse you. If you stay in my house for 7 days, I cannot take advantage of you, because we have the same DNA. Just the way I cannot sleep with Jesus. That divine element must be strong enough to restrain rascality. When I see daddy, I must not go to daddy and say, that thing is 500 naira, when the thing is 2 naira. Because the moment I speak, I am speaking to the order of life that is in you. I have told a lie against the Son of God. Daddy may not know. You see, this kind of life, we reduce, pastor, he proposed to me, I'm praying, but I don't really know what God is saying. No. Because the moment he comes, the first thing we are looking at is, does he have our kind of life? Is he part of us? And you know, as you grow in this life, the aura becomes strong. The aura around you becomes strong. Have you met somebody you never knew and you knew he was a Christian? Oh, it's the aura. It's the aura. It's the aura. You just know. He's not trying to tell you he's a Christian. This man is a Christian. He's a Christian. Oh. That aura is so strong. I've heard of people who backslided and they were still able to cast out devils. The aura is so strong. It always has this sediment here and there. life compels us to love, because we are now able to first love him as he has loved us, and we are also now able to run our homes, our marriages, by the love of God. Because believe me, failures we fail, errors we fail. That life. Something happens to you anyway. You can be depressed for a while. So you want to probably just excite yourself, watch Netflix or watch football or something. Or stop at your local joint, because your wife cannot handle this one. You stop at your local joint where boys gather and you eat a Nkobi or something, because you don't want anybody to nag you now. Just leave me alone. I'm doing my work, so leave me. Let me leave my wife after this matter. But you see, I was talking about something. Maybe when I come next week, I'll push this. Let's just round up. Because I feel today God wants to stir up his love in our hearts again, so that we will not be afraid to approach him. There are some of us, we have things we have been carrying about in our minds, and we think we are not worthy to come before him. And God says, look, if you are not worthy, I made you worthy. Come. And Satan will sit on your head, just so that you won't take that first step. But I want you to know that Satan is judged already, but you are not, so he can come. We have the outer court, and that is the first posture into seeing God. That is the way. You travel to the second layer, because in the outer court, you have washings and all those things that go on there. You wash your sins away. That's where the animal is sacrificed and everything. So that's where you are washed by the blood of Jesus. That's the washing. Then you come to the second layer, which is the holy place. That's where you have the word of God. You have the candlestick burning. Huh? You have a table. You have the showbread. Everything there symbolizes illumination and spiritual feeding. Huh? So what God expects in the second layer of your development is to begin to feed on the word of God and receive illumination on how this realm works. When you have passed that test consistently, then you'll be introduced to life. That is where God dwells. In him was light, and that light was the life of men. That's where he dwells. But you will not be introduced until you have done a good job here. But the problem with us is that the bulk of the church wants to stay in the outer court. That's the one that allows all kinds of rubbish, where people can do any address anyhow and still be shouting, I want to thank God for this award, you know, my Lord Jesus Christ, on idols. But when we looked at the song on which you got the award, there were tokens of nudity and expressions of carnality that no child of God can watch that video and not sin. And you are here saying, I want to thank my Lord Jesus Christ for his mercy, and people will be hailing you. The next person who gets there will say, I want to thank Hare Krishna for me. They will clap for that too. So it's an all-inclusive government. So the question is, which Jesus are you talking about? Is it this one? This one who John saw and he fell down as dead. John that used to put his head on his shoulder, but when he saw him in Revelation, because now it was not just Jesus Christ, he is now the living word, the one who stands in the midst of the seven candlesticks, the one who said to a church, if you do not repent, I will remove your candle. He's both the lion and the lamb. He said, for behold, I was dead, but now I am alive, and behold, I'm alive forever. These things that I show to you, write them, for they are faithful and true. The language and authority of the book of Revelation is different. He's the same one who said in the book of John, he said, I have many of my sheep that are out there. I need to go out and bring them so that we may all be one. Because as long as there is one of us, some of those people are in your offices, they are around your neighborhood. You see, as long as there's one of us that is outside, they are exposed. The wolves may get to them first. The reason why we say
come together. It's not that we can number ourselves. The day one is missing, we should be able to tell immediately. Everything Jesus has done was for our protection, was for our safety, was for our growth. And believe me, whether you are 90 or you are 19, you can hear this message. What you are giving is the God element which Lucifer fought for and was judged, which God has now given to us. This is what God said to us. I now make you kings and priests so that you may reign on the earth. If you do not understand the genesis of this life, you will not understand why God never sees you as cursed. Every time there is something you are struggling with, it's because of a knowledge you don't have. So much of what we do, there are remedial processes to help the faith of those who are weak. But what God wants us to be is a nation and a church of priests and kings. So that when we all stand here, the least among us can come forward and deliver to us the oracles of God. And it will be accurate. And those days are coming. The days are coming. The days are coming where we will sit in an adult church and a young child will come here and give us a 30-minute message, and the message will be, let us love, for God is love. And all who love dwell in Him. And it will carry so much grace and so much power, because the heart from which those words are coming, they are tender. They are tender. Therefore, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Hallelujah. I want you to bless the Lord. Thank Him. Thank Him for His love.